And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to Noon Show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. 5 minutes past nine on this Monday, the 10th of November. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed and you had a good weekend. And I had a good weekend, I must say. Yeah, indeed, it was nice and relaxing and stuff, which is great if you can have it. 086 60 25,000, by the way, is our WhatsApp and text number if you want to raise any issues with us, comment on some of the stuff we're talking about today, or perhaps pass on some good news or whatever you want to do. 086 60 25,000. You can call us too, 07491 25,000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. And coming up, of course, we're going to keep you up to date with all the big issues locally and nationally and beyond, of course. And we've got some great interviews coming up as well, and a bit of crack along the way too. All right, let's have a look at some of the newspapers. And they're still talking about the traffic in Letterkenny. And why not? I suppose it is a big deal. A local councillor has described the ongoing active travel works for cycle lanes and new pedestrian pathways in Letterkenny as crazy, and has repeated his call for them to be deferred to after Christmas. Councillor Donal Mandy Kelly's comments come as new active travel works between Ballyrain Roundabout and the Creamreef Roundabout in the town commenced this morning. "I think it is madness to be starting these works in the middle of November coming up to Christmas," he said. He highlighted that there are real concerns about the active travel works at Ballyrain and also over the works beside the hospital on the Kilmacrenan Road and the effect the works will have on the town's Christmas shopping trade. We heard directly from business owners as well, the ratepayers, last week, and I think there are more who wish to speak to us today, so stay tuned for that. The Derry News this morning: BBC Radio Ulster's The Nolan Show has come under fire for what have been described as inaccurate claims made about the Motability Scheme. The scheme enables disabled groups in receipt of certain disability benefits, their families and their carers, to lease a car, scooter or a powered wheelchair. Several people, including Sinead Quinn, a disability activist from Derry, leasing a mobility car, has lodged a complaint with the BBC about the content of the Nolan Show broadcast on November 5th. I'm not privy to that, but we'll see what comes of it. We're going to find out shortly exactly what the government coalition's plans are in terms of housing. It's covered on the front of the Irish Times this morning. As many as 12,000 social homes and 15,000 affordable housing units could be delivered per year on average under the funding available for the coalition long-awaited housing plan. Now, it's one thing making funding available, but the pathway to housing is planning, and it's water and it's power. And that'll have to be covered if they're going to get anywhere close to these targets. The Irish Times understands, meanwhile, there is to be an expansion of the role of the Land Development Agency to deliver homes in a wider geographical area and acquire more private and state land. Senior ministers, including Minister for Housing James Brown, and the coalition leaders are due to continue their deliberations today with a view to finalising the draft plan in time for Wednesday's cabinet meeting. And it'll become public knowledge then on Thursday, as far as I understand. Right on to the Irish Independent. And it's a story from England as well. It's something that you don't often see. It's kind of like accountability. We don't see it too often here, but it's made big, big waves over in Britain and across the world, in fact. Tim Davey, he's resigned as Director General of the BBC yesterday. This after a Telegraph investigation into bias at the broadcaster. Mr. Davey had been under pressure to quit after a 19-page memo revealed that a speech by Donald Trump, which made him appear to encourage the Capitol riot, was doctored. It also claimed anti-Israel bias at the broadcaster, as well as claims gender-critical issues had been downplayed. Now, I think we can hear some of this audio of... So what I'm going to play first is the audio that went out on a Panorama programme, which again is a... It's a programme with an international reputation. And then we'll play the original clip of what Donald Trump said, just to give you some idea of the level of reframing there was.
"We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you, and we fight. We fight like hell. We're going to walk down to the Capitol. And we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
These clipped.
So as you can see, there was a huge difference in what was said there. Now, you could conclude from the entirety of his speech that he might have meant the first clip, but that's not what he said, and you can't do that. There were also claims that people, that stories that were sort of anti-trans or anti, that were seen to be anti-LGBTQ, but particularly the T, that they were being silenced by certain editorial staff and all. So he went over the head of all of this, and Deborah Turnus, the broadcaster CEO of News, also resigned. But that editing is just absolutely blatant. And as I say, the BBC reputation would be incredibly badly damaged by a move like that. The Irish Daily Mail this morning: a searing attack by Billy Kelleher on Micheál Martin's northern and domestic policies has turned the heat up even further on the Taoiseach's leadership. Traditionally, northern policy is the sole preserve of the Fianna Fáil leadership, but speaking yesterday, Mr. Kelleher ripped into Mr. Martin's cautious northern approach. The Munster MEP said that when it came to supporting Irish unity, it goes without saying that there is an absolutely nothing wrong or dirty about saying this publicly. As a Fianna Fáil member since the late 1980s, I always thought it was a given, if I am being honest. But under Mr. Martin, he said, there are those no doubt driven by good intentions who want us to stay quiet about our aspirations as if they would come as a surprise or a shock to our unionist brothers. So again, in and of itself, it doesn't put up pressure on Micheál Martin, but with that ongoing investigation into the presidential campaign debacle and high profile people like this speaking out, it does add pressure down the line to Micheál Martin. On to the Irish Daily Star now, and President Michael D. Higgins, he bid a emotional farewell yesterday at what was his final scheduled public appearance. It's a big change for him. 14 years he's been in that position. Well, there was a round of applause for the 84-year-old at the end of the Remembrance Sunday service as people wished him well for when he officially steps down as President of Ireland tomorrow. Speaking at the event, which was held at St. Patrick's Cathedral, Dublin, President Higgins described his 14 years in the role as a privilege. He said it was a privilege to be Uachtaráin na hÉireann, and particularly it was a privilege to meet the wonderful people who came to see us in Aras an Uachtaráin. They were all so welcome, and they also appreciated being part of a kind of inclusive society that we all are aiming for. Also attending the event was First Lady Sabina Coyne, who echoed the sentiment of her husband and said the pair did their best. And I think, on reflection, he will be seen as one of the better presidents, won't he? And did give over 14 years of his life to that role. And of course, there are people who are going to be cynical about it and the cost of it and all that kind of stuff. But the role is there. And I think for the most part, he did his best, didn't he, to represent the country, and perhaps maybe at times the country's views, even when they weren't, it felt sometimes being represented by the state itself. Do you want to reflect on his 14 years in the office, 086 60 25,000? And I think his successor too will be a good fit in that job as well, once all the dust has settled of the campaign and all that type of stuff. There'll be a strong Donegal presence down at her inauguration, I suppose you could call it, as there were some key figures like Thomas Pringle, etc., who were quite influential in her very successful campaign. Finally, The Sun this morning, just we have a lot of lorry drivers in this part of the world, and we do talk to them on occasion about various issues, but Irish lorry drivers have been warned to watch out for people smuggling gangs seeking to sneak migrants into the UK. Hauliers are being offered thousands to hide people in otherwise legitimate loads, UK crime chiefs have said. There's been a spike of arrests in Kent, England, with a number of truckers lifted after coming off trains or ferries from France while carrying people illegally in their vehicles. Now, some of the stories I've heard from truckers is not that they're receiving money and letting people into their vehicles, is that they're that people are sneaking into their vehicles and they're bringing them into Britain unawares. But anyway, many were unaware, as I've just mentioned, migrants had hid in the back of their HGV. President of the Irish Road Haulage Association, Ger Hyland, told the Irish Sun, "Our hauliers are well aware of clandestines trying to get from Europe to the UK, more so than to Ireland." Although it's an easy pathway now from Britain into Ireland, as we know, into Belfast and then down across the border and into Dublin. All right, that was a run through some of the stories making the papers today. We've loads coming up on the show, so stay right where you are as we take a short break. Coming up after 11, our Monday focus is one of our greatest sports people at the moment, and potentially could go on to be one of the greatest sports people ever, is Dylan Brown McMonagall, who is a champion jockey, of course. He's picked up that title very, very recently. He's hard to track down. Obviously, that man is busy. He's jetting from the Curragh to California or vice versa, and he's all over the shop. But we have him in studio for a chat about his career so far. So looking forward to that. That's after 11. Dylan Brown McMonagall in studio with me. Right, we're trying to get a sense of, you know, the situation as it relates to traffic, the real world for business people and the impact it might be having on them. Giles McGee is owner of Charles Caff in Letterkenny. And Giles, I think in a communication to us, you said it's just absolutely deplorable. We don't know now the work at the other area of the town that begins today, what impact that's going to have. But from your perspective, talk to me about the situation.
Morning, Greg. Morning to your listeners, and thanks for having me on again. I was just listening to the conversation on Friday, and I've seen the signs went up to say that the roadworks are going to start today on the Ballyrain Road, or from the Mount Argyll over to the Creamery. And I just think that, you know, 6 or 8 weeks out from Christmas, it's absolutely madness that Donegal County Council think that this is a good idea. They have all year to do this work. February, March, April, maybe it would be a much better time, but they'll be doing it when businesses like myself are trying our best to make some extra money to carry us through the winter. That I think it's just a case that they're trying to spend the money that they have now because it's there, but they should all really hang their heads in shame, Greg. It's just not acceptable. It's not fair. It doesn't put us on a level playing field with all the other towns that are around us. And if they think it was such a good idea, why are they not all now trying to back themselves up and stand up for their decisions that they're making? We're left to pay the bill for it at the end of the day. You know, we as rich payers, we're still expected to pay the thousands of euro every year that we have to pay. And there's just no let up, Greg. So I just don't understand why they think it's a good idea.
I think we are all of the view that there is always going to be disruption if you're trying to improve something. That's a given, sure. Right? But when businesses are already potentially under pressure, and we're into the busy season, which carries a lot of businesses then through January, February, until things maybe start picking up again in March, to be starting these type of disruptive works that may well stop people choosing to go to Letterkenny. Right, there's a lot of people have to, for school or for work or for hospital appointments, but if you start discouraging those that are choosing to go to, I think that's when it starts really having another level of an impact on businesses, some more than others, obviously.
It really does, Greg. You know, when people can't freely move around and go from shop to shop, which is the right, and which for business people, that's what we need them to do. And when they're impeded in doing so by this type of decision, sure, they're only going to go to the surrounding towns, like Adair, Saban, Balbuffet, and that's all good for those towns, brilliant. But like, we need to concern ourselves with our own customer base and with our own people. Because without this busy period, and without making the extra trade or getting the extra trade for the next 6 weeks in the lead up to Christmas, it will make it extremely difficult for a lot of these businesses to survive the January, February period, which historically is always very, very quiet because there is such a spend up to Christmas. So it's just going to add to the already difficult situation that we find ourselves in, Greg.
This is all the active travel stuff, right? So We've seen from where I'm sitting here down to the hospital, the narrowing of lanes to accommodate cycle lanes, walking lanes, and to remove a lane, whether that's just during these works or permanently. That's disruptive enough for traffic coming in that route. Now the work has begun or is beginning from the Polestar to the Creamery, which runs past the Mount Errigal Hotel, for an example, for those outside the town. That's another incredibly important route for anyone coming from, you know, Fannad or wherever it might be to come in and shop or to grab something to eat. Like, what kind of an impact is that going to have on the overall movement of traffic in Letterkenny? And I feel that if things don't seem too bad, it is actually not because the traffic works are being well managed. It's because there's less people actually trying to get into Letterkenny.
100%, Greg. People are staying away. What happens in Letterkenny, if you close one road for half an hour or an hour, or if there's any type of major disruption on any road in and around the Letterkenny area, everybody scrambles to try and avoid that area. So all the other approach roads and exit roads are obviously going to be under even more strain. And, you know, I don't see where the benefit's going to be from the cycle path that they're trying to build and the wider footpaths and all the rest of it. In 25 years' time, possibly it'll be a great job for Letterkenny when all the traffic that doesn't need to be in and around it has been removed from it by this TNT project. If it works, that'll be brilliant. But, you know, why do they need to put the cart before the horse? Can they not wait for a little while? Can they not hand this money back, reapply for it in 5 or maybe 6 or 7 years' time? They seem to be intent on getting the first tranche of money, when my own opinion on it would be that they should be waiting until nearly the last tranche of money comes through.
It's less than 5 million. I mean, in the wider scale of things, I wonder what the loss to businesses would be over the course of 6 months. I think it might be in excess of the 4.5-5 million for this active travel work.
It'll be well in excess of that, Craig. Nobody would ever like to put an exact figure on it, and I'm sure they probably can't put a figure on it because we'll only be taking guesses at this stage. But if your business is down by even 10% over a 6-week period, which should be the busiest period of your year, you can imagine it'll be quite a substantial sum. It'll be a hell of a lot more than the 4.5 or 5 million that they're proposing to spend now. That's even if they've only spent between 4 and 5 million. You see what happened on the four-lane road out past the Kelly Toyota. It ended up being way in excess of their initial budget. So, I don't know, Greg, it's just that beggars belief. You know,
but this is to accommodate cyclists and walkers, and I know it's part of greater plan, right? But everyone that comes on, everyone that was disrupted by the work on the four lanes, because effectively really what you have is the same roads that were there 50 years ago, right? Except there's a barrier up the middle now and cycle lanes, but they say there's never anyone cycling on them. And then when a cyclist does come on, they say, well, they're not cleaned. Have you seen them? There's so much crap on them, you can't use them anyway. Now, I know there is a cleaning program there, but, you know, often you say if you build it, they will come. Well, we built it there. No one's come. No one's on those lanes.
And
we're dropping curbs now so we can drive onto the lanes to let emergency vehicles through.
It would make much more sense to widen the lanes to allow the room for the cars that are already there, give a little bit of extra space for the cyclists for when they need them, because they're not, Letterkenny is not a cyclist's dream town. It's not a commuter's ideal way to travel around. It's very, very hilly. I mean, we're built in a hollow. And, you know, again, cycle lanes are not going to work in Letterkenny. The last time you and I spoke, Greg, there was one cyclist on a cycle path, and that was between Charlie's and out past the Mount Errigal and out past the Creamery and stuff. So it's not even a case that if you build it, they will come. They have been building them, but the cyclists haven't come yet, and they can't use them because they are very dirty. When you come in past the four lane, there's such a volume of traffic that it would need to be swept every day in order to keep it clean.
See, I also think, Giles, if people are adapting more to stuff, it's going to be electric bikes and scooters, you know, and I think they're going to end up riding them on the roads. That's the way you have to ride a scooter effectively as well. So we'll see. Giles, listen, thanks for your time this morning. And I'm very pro-business. I want to be really clear on that. But even that centre lane, that centre lane on the four lanes, and there was a lot of opposition to it. It has changed some of the businesses that I go to because they've become very difficult to access, right? So this whole conversation, like any conversation we have, is about what's best for business, what's best for the consumer. It's not to discourage anyone. It's just there's a reality here that we can't ignore. Tom Crossan's a former independent councillor in Letterkenny. Tom, thanks for holding there. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. Good morning to your listeners.
Right, your overview, I suppose, of the traffic situation, Tom.
The traffic situation, like I'm living on the outside of town here on the Glenties Road, and I went to town on Wednesday morning last, and it took me from the house to the traffic lights at Dunn Stores, it took me almost a half an hour. I went to Mass yesterday morning at for 10 o'clock. I left the house at, when I turned the car, the clock came up in front of me and the time was 9:44. I was at the boys' school at, on the Conville Road at 9:47, which was roughly 3 minutes, and that would be roughly the same distance that I had to do from going towards Dunn's and going up to the church. So that gives you an indication, because the traffic wasn't on the road and you were able to move. When I went in on Wednesday, I got as far as the Ballymacool Town Park. Then I was delayed there. It only took me a couple of minutes to get that far. And the rest of the road, while I was waiting, the cars behind me were piling up again, and they started to turn on the road and go back out to whatever road they were going then. They changed the road. Went to the roundabout at the Donald Park. Two cars in front of me turned up Kirkstone and went up on Glen Carway, and three or four more cars, as I was on the roundabout, came in behind me, and they went up that road as well. So they're putting this cycle lane in Ballymacool, which is, when you take from the Donald Park to Dunn Stores, it's roughly 600 yards that they're putting a cycle lane in. It's delaying, it's going to delay all the traffic. It's going to disturb all the residents in that area, because they're taking away their front gardens, moving the cycle lanes and the footpaths right into the front of their door. They open their door and walk out. People walking past could be bumping into them. Now, there's a man there, aged man, and he has the front garden is about 20 foot wide in the length of the house and that there, and he can go out on a good day and walk around it. And he meets and sees people. He can't do that after this happens, when this happens, you know. So it's terrible. And I, the other thing I'm disappointed about is I didn't hear it myself because I wasn't listening to directly at that time on Friday, but you had said that there was a certain number of councillors, local councillors from the town, voted for this.
Yeah.
I can't understand why that. I mean, councillors in Bundoran, Ballyshannon, Gador, Glenties, Ardara, Fannett, okay, they're not using the town at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning to get into town. So I can't understand why they have this set up, you know.
Yeah, well, I suppose
they're dictating what we do in Letterkenny.
Yeah, well, I think it was a bit of
our local councillors could have been standing up against it.
Yeah, but I mean, some of the comments from them, I don't want to misquote them, were, look, this is the future. We need to be doing this now. This is an opportunity. This is a window.
Well, the future should have been, because I proposed this road, a bridge across the road beside near to the town park, Ballymacool Town Park, that could go across onto the Bomley Road, and again, and it would join up with the Leck Road onto the 10T Road.
Mm-hmm.
That was, well, I'm out of the council now 11 years and that there, so it's 10, 11 years since that was proposed, and nothing ever was done about it. Now they're talking about doing it. That could have been done, and had it been done, and the money that they're spending on this operation that they're doing, that they're planning to do now, it's somewhere between 1 and 2 million. On the Ballymacool area, you're talking to Giles there, but the Remelton Road and the High Road, which is probably in the same. So you have maybe up to 10 million to spend there that you could be spending on this other operation to get
the cars. Yeah, but you see, the thing is I know what you're saying, Tom, but this is active travel funding. It's a particular, and you would know this.
Active travel, I mean, what is active travel? I mean,
but you would know it.
I was at the display for the showing these footpaths and that there a couple of weeks ago, and they talked about, okay, we want to get the cars off the road, right, and get people on bicycles. Now, if I go from here and I have to cycle in, get to the Donald Park. I have to take a crossing there across the in the front of traffic to get onto the traffic lane. And then when I go to Dun Stores, where do I go? There's no traffic lane to continue me on, a cycle lane to continue me on. Talking about putting on buses for that. When I was in the 60s, my mother used to get a bus at the bottom of the road coming from Church Hill. That bus is gone now. There's no buses there now for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, putting on this active travel, do they want us to leave our cars at home? Are they going to take the keys off us that we can't drive them?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but it's to give options, you see, Tom, and it's probably not for me or you, it's probably for our grandchildren, you know.
They should have been looking, the traffic has been building up for a long time, and they should have been looking at the options to remove the traffic.
Yeah.
Now, and then they're also building, when they plan to build another 172 houses right on the edge of the town, Ballymacool, and they're going to have, I heard there's a car space for every house. So that's 172 cars. At least it has to go onto the road again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
okay.
I mean, active travel is travel at the moment is cars, and they have to be accommodated cars to get them to move off there, to get them to move in areas that's not blocking up.
Okay. Listen, Tom. Thanks for your time. I do appreciate it. And. Keep your calls coming in relation to that. Will you 086 60 25,000? That's the WhatsApp and text. Or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. And also keen, I'm also keen to hear if you're a cyclist or a scooter or a walker and you're waiting with bated breath for these developments. You know, I want to make sure that we're hearing all sides of the argument here. So if you are a cyclist and you've looked at these active travel plans and you think they're the best thing since sliced bread, please get in touch with us as well. Or maybe you're a business person and you're of the view that, you know, this is a short bit of pain for long-term gain. Very interested in hearing what you have to say as well. All right, lots of you messaging in, as you can imagine, because it's a very emotive topic as it relates to traffic and the movement of traffic. And some of you sending in your voice messages too, if that suits you better. So let's have a listen to this listener.
Good morning, Greg. I was in the town at the weekend and I was driving along part of the road where there is a cycle lane, and in front of me was a person on bike on the road. On the footpath there was a bike and the cycle lane was there, and neither of the two of them using it, but yet the council seems to think that we need more cycle lanes. Crazy. Traffic in the town is terrible and the cycle lanes aren't being used. So to me, they're a waste of money.
No, it's a waste of money, according to that listener. We appreciate all the ways you communicate, and it might suit you better to send a voice note, and it's lovely to hear your voices as well. Thank you very much for that. Now, inevitably, we'll be heading back to that. But we were talking last week about, and it's sticking with roads, the 10T project. It's a major infrastructural project. I think 499 landowners, homeowners, are affected by it. CPOs are going to be issued or are out. I thought in the first instance, and I'm probably open to correction, or maybe I'm right, the CPOs are like, well, it's happening. That's it. So we'll have a chat with you. We'll negotiate a little bit with you. But the CPO means that this is a project of such a scale that it will go ahead one way or t'other. But let's find out if that's really the situation. Richard Rea is agricultural consultant with Martin and Rea. Good morning to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Good morning. Thank you.
Right. So you are working with some of the families and landowners affected by the 10T route. So talk to me about maybe what elements of CPOs we might not fully understand.
There is a misconception that if property is acquired by a compulsory purchase order, that is semi-confiscated, which in fact is incorrect. Under the legislation, property owners are entitled to be paid market value plus devaluation of the remainder of the property plus disturbance. And if you're a landowner, a goodwill payment as well of $6,500 per acre. The process is heavily weighed in favour of the acquiring authority, but that may be, as it is, the only way you could really build the infrastructure is by compulsory purchase order, because otherwise it would not be possible to do so.
So someone like yourself, Richard, if you're representing someone who will be affected by this, is the main area of negotiation then disturbance? Because, you know, the market value is the market value, and you've set out a figure there per acre. So is it really, does it come down to the disturbance amount?
I doesn't really know. It's leading just to take account of disturbance, because supposing you have a farmer and there's only a portion of his land at the tail end of his farm acquired, and we'll say there is 3 acres involved, that 3 acres will be worth less than if the road went through the middle of his farm. Mm. It still take him 3 acres, because if it went through the middle of his farm or slightly off middle, it's going to make it more difficult to farm his land on the far side of the road. We'll say if his farmyard is on the right-hand side of the new road and his rest of his land is on the left-hand side, it's obviously going to make it much more difficult to farm the rest of the land. And one of the major items of claim in any compulsory purchase case will be a concept called injurious affection and severance. In layman's terms, it represents the devaluation of the remainder of the property, which can, in a lot of cases, be equal to the value of the land. So if the value of the land, for example, was 20,000 an acre, it's quite possible that the devaluation of the remainder of the land could be maybe 15,000 an acre, right? So that'd be 35,000 an acre. And then the disturbance could be quite easy, another 10 or 15,000 or more per acre. So you could be up from 50,000 per acre upwards. And in most cases, substantially more, depending how the what's actually involved. If, for example, farm buildings were involved, and there's a number of cases on this road where full farmyards have been removed, in that kind of a case, the landowner will be entitled to the full replacement value of the farm buildings. Similarly, if there was a well had to be removed, he'd be entitled to the full replacement cost of the well. So it's not just a simple matter of minor disturbance. The disturbance can be quite substantial.
And I presume every landowner has representation like yourselves, or should have then, if that's the case, because maybe, you know, people could not get exactly what they're entitled to.
That is possible, yes. How the process operates is that there's a valuer appointed to represent the acquiring authority, which is this case the Donegal County Council. And it's in the interest of all property owners to retain somebody who's competent in this area. Most auctioneers, for example, don't deal with this kind of area. Mm. We're not auctioneers, we're agricultural consultants who specialise in this type of area in association with Martin O'Connell, who's an agricultural consultant and successful auctioneer in Ballybofey. And that's our connection at present with our clients in Donegal. I've been doing work in Donegal since about 2004 or 2005, when I started doing some work on the Mountaintop project in north of Letterkenny, and subsequently in other parts of Donegal, including Killybegs. So I would have dealt with about 1,000 CPO cases over the years.
Is there anything else about the process that I haven't asked you about, or do you think it's that would be worth either those affected or the public, generally speaking, knowing about this whole process?
I think they need to understand the actual process and what will actually happen.
Right, talk us through that then, Richard.
The intention, or my own information, is that Donegal County Council intend issuing the CPO at the end of January 26, okay? And property owners then will have a two-month period in which to make an objection. A valid objection wouldn't be that you don't like it, it's in the wrong place. Essentially, the next thing that happens, there's a public inquiry, or known as an oral hearing, which I expect wouldn't occur until maybe summer of 26 or September 26, that kind of period. Mm. And since COVID, these oral hearings are now held online. which is much more in favour of the local authority than the objector. And the inspector will be appointed by An Bord Pleann Aoile, or the new name on Commission Pleann Aoile, I think they call themselves now. And the inspector is deemed, is considered to be independent, but in my experience, they're independent in favour of the local authority. And even if they make a recommendation for some changes, the board can change it or ignore it. I would expect that the road will be approved by about September 27, sometime from summer to autumn 27, before the compulsory purchase order will be confirmed. And then if somebody wanted to take it to the High Court by way of judicial review, they'd have to make an application to the High Court for permission for a judicial review within a month of the confirmation of the CPO. Now, if there's a judicial review, then that could put matters back by maybe 2 years or forever. But under proposals from the government, it's going to be made more difficult to have a judicial review, which I think to a large extent is correct, because in my experience, the wildlife have a higher priority in all these matters than the people. The next thing that would happen then, if there was no judicial review, I would expect that around spring 2028, a notice of treat would issue. What a notice of treat is, that's the valuation date for property that's been acquired. So if the notice of treat was, we'll say, the 1st of March 2028, it's a valuation of property in March 28 that would be appropriate, not the valuation of property in January 26. So if the notice of treat issue was, say, in March 28, what would then happen is property owners would have 2 months in which to submit a claim. And subsequent to that, the next thing that would happen or should happen is a joint inspection between the valuer for the landowner and the valuer for the county council, because the valuer for the county council produces his own report to advise his clients, which in that case would be the county council, as what they consider is the value of the claim. So if you have a joint inspection around summer 28, I would expect that first offers will come out around autumn 28 and to be into 29/30 before anybody will get any money, which is maybe about 4 years from now. So that's the actual process.
And do you believe, given the scale of this project and the amount of people affected by it, do you believe the timelines you've laid out there are probable?
The timelines for the issuing of the various matters, the issuing of the CPO, I've been told is now going to be the end of January. I expect that's going to happen, or early February. I would expect the oral hearing, that's a matter for An Bord Pleann Aoile, or the new name. I will call that maybe summer, autumn 27. If the board are unhappy with the documentation that's submitted at the time of the issue of the CPO, they will go back in writing to the county council seeking additional information. And if the additional information that they require is very substantial, that will obviously set back further the date of an oral hearing, and subsequently every other date will be set back further. I don't think the number of people on the scheme is going to significantly change when various things will occur.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And given the timing of when the valuations will actually be taken, like, there's a lot of people think that we could be on the brink of some sort of a crash or something. Is that just the luck of the draw for landowners, homeowners, if, you know, the value of their property or their land were to drop significantly by, you know, 2030 compared to now?
No, I'm not concerned about 2030. For example, I would have worked on the N7 between Port Leash and Nina around 2006-2007. So land prices would have been fixed, we'll say, around June 2007. Mm. And land prices were quite strong. But by the time people were getting paid, maybe into 2010 or 2011, where the start was fully on, and land prices would have dropped from 25,000 an acre to 8,000 an acre. The significance of the NOSTAT treaty is that values are frozen as of that date.
Understood.
So if we have another crash by 2030 and the NOSTAT treaty is sometime in 28, that would be a bonus because Understood. Land okay. prices would be, and property okay. prices would be frozen as of the date of NOSTAT treaty. The country also applies because of the large number of houses being acquired and the large amount of land being acquired. Land prices and property prices are likely to go up. So if your house compensation was 700,000, for example, in March 28, and property prices have increased, you'll be at a disadvantage because the cost of replacing your house might be 850,000 and all you've got is 700,000.
Okay. Fascinating, Richard. Thanks so much for your insight. I really do appreciate it. Richard Rea there, agricultural consultant with Martin and Rea.
The 9 till noon show with Letterkenny Credit Union. Simplify your debts with a debt consolidation loan from Letterkenny Credit Union. Call us on 074-910-2126 or apply online via our app or in office today.
If you're looking for furniture that turns heads, at Foy's and Bally Buffet in Letterkenny, we're more than a furniture store. We're your style destination. From elegant sofas to eye-catching lighting, luxurious beds to statement wall art, we offer the largest range of quality furniture and home decor in the Northwest. Every piece is selected for quality, comfort, and timeless design. Check out our socials for exclusive offers and inspiration. Foy's, where great interiors begin.
Tá muisiste den tauchi, an scéim nua coigiltis scoir le na gláró for dhíne go huaibriach ag tacht go lua. Cúrin tos a aragad isteach, cúrin da ostóir aragad isteach, agus cúrin an stát breis aragad isteach ar a bhór. Bailach íntacha ta an chan aragad a hawail do da tauchi, agus tú ag tnú le lasawaint a sluach da hair. Má tha tila oldishwit, tuur cuart ar gov.ie /auto-enrollment. Tachtaracht o Realtas na Héireann.
Transform your living room with a luxurious bespoke feature wall from Spratt Fireplaces Newmills Letterkenny. Our complete installations include built-in storage, electric fires, floating shelves and stunning finishes in stone, porcelain or marble. Each feature wall is designed and built in-house by our expert carpentry and stone masonry teams. No fuss, just flawless feature walls. Call 074-91-24144 or visit sprattfireplaces.ie. Spratt Fireplaces, experts in heating, design and detail.
He'd be outside the kitchen window with a big smile on his face, looking for help to stand in the gap.
Eamon's son Ben died by suicide in 2021. Even good memories can be hard to share, but Embrace Farm is here to listen, supporting farm families in Ireland every step of the way after a serious injury or sudden death. Visit embracefarm.com or ring us at 085 770 9966 to tell us your story.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhenney's. Discover Christmas gift ideas for everyone on your list, from trending beauty to memorable Secret Santa gifts. Visit us in Ballybuffet to explore our extensive range of gifts or shop online at McElhenney's.com today.
Excuse me, sorry. Rain over the region will gradually clear by early afternoon. Bright or sunny spells and scattered showers will follow for the rest of the day. These mainly over our region. Highest temperatures of 9 or 10 degrees with light southwesterly or variable breezes. Interesting that there seems to be some mixed messaging about the potential for a cold snap towards the weekend into next week. So we'll keep an eye on that for you. But some of the models people examine indicate it could get quite chilly. Others suggesting it might miss us. We'll see. Hi, I've decided to job share as I cannot cope with the mountaintop traffic daily. It is so stressful. I was excusing myself regularly as I was running late for work. Wow, so that's someone's life. It's had an impact on. I was shopping in Penny's on Thursday and waited 30 minutes to do a return. Penny's has been ruined with self-checkouts. How does everyone else feel? I used to do all my Christmas shopping there, but wouldn't be bothered now. Don's is the same. Too many self-checkouts. I've noticed it. I don't want stories with I don't mind self-checkout. I find it, but I don't want that to skew my feelings. I don't want that to skew, you know, the reality of what other people feel. Generally, I don't use them, but I was in Penny's, got a few bits as you do.
it didn't bother me really. I do wonder why there's always sort of like a couple of staff watching you as if you're about to lift something when they could be doing what you're doing yourself there, if you know what I mean. So I don't always fully get the logic to that. And I do see in other places whereby they have some self-checkout tills. There's always a problem when you're standing in the queue for the regular till and the person at the regular till then has to leave to go and sort it out. So it does seem counterintuitive, but it seems to be the way businesses want to go. A caller says, why do cyclists insist on riding two or even three abreast on our roads, causing frustration, frustrated drivers to overtake on dangerous places? Pedestrians should start walking two abreast in cycle lanes to see how they like it. Well, you don't see cyclists in cycle lanes too often, so I don't think it's going to put them up or down. And they can cycle two abreast by law. Is it even three? I'll double check that. A caller says, I walk Letterkenny every night and I walk these roads that they're destroying at the moment, and there's nothing wrong with the footpaths that we have. Cyclists will still be on the roads, believes the listener. Another, we need to start electing councillors that really care about Letterkenny and want to fight for the town and good services. Listen, I don't think there's any doubt that people who voted in favour of active travel did so thinking it was better for Letterkenny. It's whether or not it was the right decision. It certainly wouldn't be. It wouldn't be counterintuitive. One of those who voted in favour of them is Councillor Jerry McMonagall of Sinn Féin. And of course, his Sinn Féin colleagues around the county voted in his favour, and that helped get them over the line. He's going to join us a little later on and explain his decision-making process. And I suppose, does he stand by that decision now and what he believes the impact will be on businesses over the Christmas period? So there's that and so much more besides. Okay, I'll keep getting back to your comments, of course, as the morning wears on, so stay with us. But we're going to take a break now for the latest news, which will be followed by the obituary notices. And then we'll be right back.